Gíomh galérta fáilte rót go dtíon orgéile chun seo ar chin nécha seachtaí ar an maidin seo. Tiúdónach, welcome to another edition of the Gaelic Hour here on chin 97.9 FM this cold Sunday morning. Tá sé gahanna úr ar fad a mhaithin sin. It'll get better as the day goes on. It's very cold. Gahanna úr. We're coming to you from Murray Street in the market, and we're going to have a wonderful program today where we're going to talk about the Rosa Tralee. We've talked a little about that before, but today we're going to hear from Lisa Murtha, and Lisa was the Rose for 2007. And we're also going to talk to Corina Higgins, and Corina represented Toronto in Tralee in August of 2008. And when she was there, she had Michael Kirby taking care of her, and we're going to hear Michael's opinions and ideas about Corina. And Corina hasn't heard this yet, but Corina's in studio and we'll introduce her to her in a moment. And then we're also going to talk to Aaron Jackson. And Aaron took part in a gala ball on the 1st of November that was organised by the National Irish Canadian Cultural Centre. And that has put Aaron in a position to go forward to another event that will happen in April, where she may have the opportunity to represent Ottawa in Tralee in August of 2009, which is the 50th anniversary of the Rose of Tralee. So, wonderful program put together for you. But to bring you up to date with some of the things that are going on in the city on an ongoing basis, don't forget, whether it's a cold day, whether it's a warm day, whether it's snowing or raining, you can go to Library and Archives Canada, and the Dubliners photographic exhibition from the National Library of Ireland is ongoing until January 5th. A wonderful photographic exhibition because it captures the mood of people, which is very unusual for the time. And most photographs around the turn of the last century were commissioned, so people actually sat and posed. So it was highly unusual for somebody as a hobby to go out and take photographs of street scenes and people in just ordinary environments, and that is what actually happened. So a wonderful exhibition, well worth going to. And of course, every Monday you can do some Irish language or dance classes, and that's with the Cultus Cultoriern local branch organisation, and that's at Blessed Sacrament at 194 4th Avenue. And Tuesdays between 11 and 2 the seniors drop in, and that's at St Margaret Mary's at Sunnyside and Fairburn. And on Wednesdays you can do Cayley dancing, and that is Villa Marconi, 1026 Baseline Road. And of course, I want to express my gratitude, my gratitude and thanks to the Irish Village Group of Companies for their ongoing support of this program. Without their help, we would not be on the air. And you can catch live music, whether it be at the Heart and Crown, Roisin Doves, the Old Dublin, or any of the locations, Wednesday to Saturdays. And also, I want to thank the Monterey Inn Resort for their ongoing support of this program. I'm going to welcome, first of all, before we hear from Lisa Murtha, Corina Higgins and Aaron Jackson. Welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you for getting up at this unearthly hour on a Sunday morning. And we're going to listen to Lisa Murtha talk about her year of experience as the Rosa Tralee, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk to Corina and to Aaron. And if you do want to give me a call here, the number is 613-244-0244. We don't normally open the phone lines on Sunday mornings, but we'll do so today. And also, the internet, we're broadcasting out there on thegaelichour.ca, and my email address is austin@thegaelichour.ca. You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM, and I'm talking to Lisa Murtha, and Lisa has just handed over the tiara to the new Rose of Tralee from Tipperary, and Lisa is from New York. Welcome to the Gaelic Hour, first of all.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, the outgoing Rose, you've just spent a year where you have represented the Rose of Tralee Festival worldwide. Tell us about the year. Start with when someone else handed you or crowned you. And I know that was a year ago now.
Yeah, no, you know, I kind of can imagine what Aoife is going through right now. When Catherine Feeney, who was the 2006 Rosa Tralee, put the crown on my head, I was in absolute shock. And for someone who enters the Rosa Tralee, you're not used to media attention and things like that, and all of a sudden the entire Irish media is focused on you, and it's overwhelming. But it's such an amazing feeling, and when you see your family and your family's reaction and how excited they are and the phone calls and the text messages, I mean, my parents, I actually got a message to the hotel here, the Fells Point, from a couple that lived next to my parents in the 1970s in New York and hadn't seen my parents in over 30 years. But they saw me on TV and said, that's Coleman Martin's daughter. And it turned out that they were right. And I mean, it's just amazing what it does and, you know, and what it means to the Irish community. It was just a surreal feeling.
You mentioned that you got media attention here in Ireland. So when you got back to New York, had the media picked up on it there and even the Irish media in New York and the Irish community? And how was that?
Oh, gosh, they did. And it was brilliant, you know, because I thought when I went back home that it wouldn't be, you know, kind of recognized. Because, unless you're a part of the Irish community, you don't really know what the Rosa Chile is. I'm hoping that changes soon. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so, I mean, I had to explain to my friends and everything. So when I went back to New York, I was on the front page of the Irish Echo and, you know, all the local Irish papers. I actually also got my name into Page Six, which has nothing to do with Ireland. And it's a page that basically left with celebrities. And that was a big moment for me. But the New York media, they did pick up on it. It wasn't as big as it was in Ireland, of course. But, you know, it was great. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
So in your daytime world, what do you do that you were able to devote a year of your life to the Rosa Chile?
Well, the thing is, you don't have to. You know, it's up to the girl who wins every year what she wants to do with her year. For me, I had a serious job in New York. I'm a lawyer. I couldn't just pick up and leave. Mm-hmm. So essentially, I went back home and I continued working for 6 months. And I did do Rose duties. I flew over to Ireland and to England to attend certain events, etc. So, you know, I did what I could from New York. And then in February, I decided to take the rest of the year out to enjoy the Rose. I don't want to look back and say, what an opportunity. I wish I had done, you know, X, Y, Z. So I took half the year out and it was just fantastic and traveled the world. And it was just, you know, it's hard to explain unless you've been through it. But, you know, you travel to all the Irish centers. You meet, you know, so many people, wonderful people, you know, who settled in Sydney and Dubai. And, you know, they're so welcoming. And it's just the experience of a lifetime. It really is.
Of the 6 months when you were traveling then, where would you have put has been a high point that stands out more than all the others, given that everywhere was special?
Everywhere is absolutely special, and it was wonderful attending selections and seeing new roses being chosen. I mean, that was amazing because, you know, you could see the excitement in their families, and it just brings you back to what your family went through. But I would have to say that going to Africa was a highlight for me. It was because it's such a life-changing experience. You know, going, especially as a rose, you have to choose a charity, and I chose Concern. And I went to a project that they're involved in Nairobi, in Kenya, and, you know, saw HIV orphans and things. I mean, just things like that that just stay with you. It was an eye opener. It makes you realize the things that we stress about, you know, it's just nothing compared to what other people go through.
The Irish communities that you came across worldwide as well, you must have noticed in various parts of the world, more recent Irish and more established Irish. Where would you say are the newer Irish communities that you came across?
I would say Dubai is a pretty new one. Because, you know, I went to Sydney, which is pretty well established, and then in the States, obviously New York is a very Irish town, has been for years and years. I'd say Dubai was the newest that I've been to.
And would you say then, in seeing somewhere like Dubai, is there much of a difference or a contrast that you can see between the Irish in somewhere like Dubai and be it New York, Chicago, Boston, Philadelphia, or places that...
Yeah, I have to say no. I mean, whether you're in Dubai or Ottawa or Chicago, the Irish, you know, stick together. They're so proud of their heritage. They're so proud of where they come from. They carry on tradition. And I find them to be very similar, very welcoming, very hospitable. You know, they're just... Yeah, I find them very, very similar, no matter where you go, which is so interesting to go from one corner of the earth to the other and, you know, you always know you can get a good fry or a cup of tea.
Right. If there was someone out there, a young lady, and she was wavering or considering putting her name in for the Rose of Tralee, what would you say?
Oh, gosh, you know, and I come across young girls who ask me that same question, you know, should I do it? You know, what's it really like? Do you really get along with the other girls? And it is such an amazing experience. If you're wavering at all I have to say is I didn't waver. I went in knowing I wanted to do it. But having done that when I went in, it exceeded my expectations. And I kind of expected it to be a nice, wholesome event, which it is, and it exceeded my expectations. You know, you make friends for life. There's no cattiness. It's not about how you look, you know, the size of your thighs or how you are in a bikini. It's, you know, really just about Irish heritage, about elegance, about, you know, being accomplished, being a modern woman. And anyone who's be listening to this and wavering about it, just think, what opportunity would you have to come to Ireland and to be treated like royalty and to have your family come to be on national TV? It's just such a laugh. It's something that I think, you know, you should do. Why not? Don't look back and regret having not done it.
You made a comment there, and I think it's very important. You said it's about being a modern woman.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people would associate an event like this, or the perception might be out there that it is shallow and that it's looking only at skin level, but the Rose of Tralee is something much deeper, much more sincere than that.
It absolutely is. You know, it's the furthest that you can possibly get from shallow. And, you know, when I was in the Rose of Tralee, you know, you're followed around by reporters, and a lot of times they ask you that question, especially myself. They kind of cornered me because I was a New York Rose. I was older than the other girls, and I was an attorney. And they would say to me, you know, why would a woman like yourself, who's accomplished, an attorney, be involved in something like this? And they would equate it to beauty pageants, and mm-hmm. that's not what this is. You know, it's about your heritage. It is probably, it's so unique. It's probably the only event I can think of that it extols every good virtue about a woman. Not just her, you know, other pageants or, you know, whatever you want to call them, extol a woman's looks.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about that. It's about her intelligence, you know, how she is around other people, you know, how warm she is, how intelligent. I mean, it's just, it's so hard to put to words, you know. It's just, it means, it has such a good and wholesome message, and, you know, you'd have to be here to understand that. And I think in a world where young girls, you know, look up to the likes of Lindsay Lohan's and the Paris Hilton's, and, you know, this is the one good thing that I can think of, that, you know, when I have children someday, I want my daughter to be in the Rose of Tralee. I don't want her to be in Miss America or Miss Ireland, you know, because mm-hmm. I don't think they have the right message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, this is so different.
From the day that you signed to put your application in to today, where you've handed the crown over to the new Rose, I can only sense that you would say you're a richer person.
Mm-hmm. I've grown immensely, I have to say. You know, again, I was a lawyer. I was used to stress and pressure and everything before I entered the Rose, but this challenges you in a different way. You know, I've become better at public speaking, at least I hope I have. You know, and it's just, it's been a life-changing experience. I've traveled the world. It's just, it's really opened the horizon for me. It's just been the most wonderful experience ever.
Well, Lisa Morta, you're now going to get the chance to go back into anonymity, and into a private life. And I want to thank you for taking some time and sharing your experiences of the last year with my listeners.
No, well, thank you very much. Thank you.
And this is the Gaelic Hour here on Tune 97.9 FM with Austin Cameron, and that was Lisa Murtha, who was the Rose for 2007, the Rose of Tralee. And when we come back after these messages, we will be talking with Corina Higgins. And Corina, she represented Toronto in Tralee in 2008.
So, what are the advantages of the Chin Winter Picnic? Low, low prices for a first-class resort in the gorgeous Mayan Riviera. Exclusive a la carte restaurant reservations. All kinds of great Chin Radio souvenirs. 30% discount at the Ottawa Park and Fly. And there's more. Don't delay. Book today. And keep listening for more details.
The little Irish village in the heart of the Byward Market had its humble beginnings in 1992 with the now famous Heart and Crown. A second venue, the Snug Pub, since 1997. And then there's Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, Black Rose. Since 2001, they complete the Irish village, each a treasure in its own way. Visit the Irish village. We can accommodate groups of all sizes. Private seating areas, spacious patios, and party rooms. Tell us about your special event and we will take care of the rest. 613-562-0674.
The Monterey Inn is your premier choice for an exceptional stay in a resort setting along the Rideau River, close to the airport and a short journey to the nation's capital. The Monterey Inn offers a host of features for the discerning visitor that includes meeting and conference facilities, an outdoor heated pool and a fitness centre. Drop in and enjoy the fine dining experience of La Bodega Lounge. The Monterey Inn at 2259 Prince of Wales Drive, 613-288-3500 or www.monterey.ca.
Direct from Ireland, the Gaelic Hour presents Danu on their Irish Christmas tour, described by the New York Times as fierce fiddle reels to pensive ballads. Wednesday, December 10th at 7:30 p.m. at St. Bridget's, home of the Irish-Canadian Cultural Centre, 314 St. Patrick Street in Ottawa. Tickets $29.50 plus surcharges at ticketweb.ca or at the Ottawa Folklore Centre.
All this Christmas time.
This is Michael English, and you're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM.
And of course, Michael English, I managed to talk to him when I was in Tralee. He sang the Rose of Tralee to the winning rose. And that's one of the traditions at the Rose of Tralee, is that as the rose is crowned, someone, a handsome young man, gets to sing the Rose of Tralee to the winning girl. And Michael English sang this year. Karina Higgins, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Oh, thank you very much.
So you managed to find yourself in Tralee in August of 2008.
I did. It was amazing. It was so fun.
So you were listening to Lisa there, and she mentioned about if anyone was wavering. You were saying initially that you were nearly pushed into it.
Yeah, I was told about the festival when I was 18, and my mother's friend said I should do it, and I would have a ball, and I declined because I was like, you have to stand up on stage in front of millions of people and talk and have an interview and be composed. And I was like, that is not me. I'll be shaking and blubbering. And so I backed out. And that whole year I was thinking, what if I had gone? What would I be doing now? Like, what if I had won? Let's just say. So this past May, when it came around again, I was asked to do it again. And like, again, my fears of going on stage, talking in front of a lot of people, and I said no at first, and then I was at school, actually, and thinking about, I said no last year, and I was thinking about, like, what I would miss, and I talked to my mom about it a lot, and she said, you know, there's no point in having what-ifs when you grow up, because I don't want to be older and say, well, what if I had done this, and what if I had done that, so I put in the application, and I got accepted for the Toronto Rose, and we did the festival, and surprisingly enough, I won, which was a complete shock to me. And when I got there to Tralee, it was amazing. Like, all the girls were really nice, and there's some of my best friends there. So
let's back up and let people know who Karina Higgins is. You're a student at the University of Ottawa.
Yes, I am.
So that's why you happen to be in the studio at this on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And you are working locally as a part-time job, and you didn't get to bed until the early hours this morning. So we dragged you out after this. 4 or 5 hours sleep.
No, it's worth it, so it's all right.
But your mom and dad, they're Irish.
Yes, they are.
They're from where?
Belfast.
And you came over when you were very young.
Yes, we moved to Canada when I was a year old.
Okay. So. And have you had much interaction back and forward?
Oh, yeah. My mom, I don't have any family or cousins over here, and my family's really close, so my parents' main goal was to keep our family as close as possible with being across, like, the water there. So we went back every other summer until our family started to grow, and it got expensive for six people to go back and forth. So now my mom's family comes over, and we go over the odd time to see my dad's family. So
right.
And we're still really close for our family. So.
Now, I do know as well, because I did meet your mom and your dad in Philly, that was the other aspect of the rose. It very much involves the family.
Yes, very much so.
And you guys traveled as a family over. Your brother
we
was
did.
Over as well.
Yeah. My mom and I, we went first, and later on the night, I want to say the 19th, my dad, two sisters, and my brother came over. So for being from Canada and having a group that, well, big, let's say, is it's a pretty good-sized group for not being from Ireland. So I had my own little support group there, and it was a lot of fun. And I was really happy that I'm happy that everyone came, but my brother was a big surprise, and I had a lot of fun.
And I do remember on the night, and we will talk about the live TV portion, while you were being interviewed, your father managed to get some TV coverage.
He did. I believe he had a Canadian hat.
Yeah, one of those big,
high,
fluffy ones.
Yeah, goofing off as he does. But no, he's good. He's a lot of fun. So.
We should explain that in Ireland, in August, the Rose of Tralee is broadcast live on a Monday night and a Tuesday night. And both nights, it's a three-hour show. And on the Monday night, there are 16 girls interviewed. And the Tuesday night, there's 15. And that mm-hmm. was the way. And then on the Tuesday night, the new Rose is crowned. And each girl is interviewed, excuse me, live for 7 to 8 minutes and then does some performance, some little party piece. So it is true live TV.
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
In the green room, it was okay. Seeing everyone going was fine. But as soon as I was told that I was going to be going up next and I was just off stage, that's when my heart started to pound. And in the beginning, when you're standing and the camera's on you and you're waving, I was more focused on not tripping over a cord that was right there. So I walked out, and they told you that you would not see anyone mm-hmm. because the lights. You see every single person in that audience. You see everybody's face. You see everything.
Okay.
And as soon as you walked out, my adrenaline kicked in. At first, I was really nervous, and I was like, there's so many people here, and I'm going to mess up or something. And then adrenaline kicked in, and Ray Darcy was great. He made me feel, really comfortable and, at home on stage. But the questions he asked, he wasn't trying to, quiz you or, mess you up or anything. So he was really well, and he just made everything flow really well. But my knees were definitely shaking a lot, and I had never felt my knees shake as much as I had in my life. But I actually could see my brother. I didn't know where my aunt and uncle were, but I saw my brother and my sisters there. So.
Yeah, they were under the big Toronto banner.
Right. Yeah. Well, I hope so.
That's right. Now, when you say the questions that he asked, prior to going on stage, you went through a rigorous interview process over in Ireland with the judges.
We did, yeah. The whole tour is 10 days, so the first 5 days were just meeting the other girls, and it's purely a tour just to get to of Ireland, just to get to know the other girls. And once you get to Tralee, that's when you're told you're we're told we're being watched, but we're always on our best behavior, of course.
We'll find out about that
yeah.
when we talk to Michael Kirby.
Yeah, really. And so the interviewing process with the judges was a group interview. I was with 6 girls, and then an individual interview, and that went really well. The judges were all really, really nice, and again, weren't out to ask you questions that you didn't know how to answer, didn't want to stump you. They really wanted you to do well, and that's the type of feeling you get with it. It's really homey in that way and family oriented, that they want to see you do well.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there to stump you and say, oh, well, she's not going to get it. Everyone wants you to do really well, so it's really relaxed and fun.
And to that extent also, and you mentioned it, that the first 5 days were really, you were getting to know each other. A tremendous camaraderie builds up between all the girls.
Yeah, it was, I was nervous at first because I was one of the youngest, and I didn't know if I was going to be a little sister. But once you got there, everyone it was like you were on a trip with a bunch of your girlfriends. It was honestly, it was so fun. It was the best way to see Ireland. I'd been to the north a lot, but I hadn't been to the south. So to actually go on a big tour bus and with all these girlfriends, it was so fun. It was amazing.
So where did you go? Where were you brought in Ireland?
We started off in Dublin, mm-hmm. and we stayed there for 2 nights. Then we moved to Carlow and Wexford then, and then Kinsale.
Kinsale, nice.
And then we were there in Tralee. So in each spot, we did little tour things and met with the people. And I mean, every community we went to, there was a lot of people and all these little girls, and they really wanted to see you, and they had big scrapbooks. And that was the most shocking thing for me. A little girl came up to me and had this massive, like, scrapbook, and my face was on it. And I was like, oh my goodness. It was so surreal. And people asking for your photo and your autograph. And I was like, a month ago, I was working in a restaurant and a zoo, and now you want my autograph.
Now you're a celebrity.
It was so surreal to me. And I just, at first, I was like, this isn't real, and no one's going to. I thought for the Irish girls, of course, they'd have, like, lineups of people wanting signatures and stuff, but I had lineups, too, and I was like, wow, I'm, like, famous.
Well, the other thing you had was an escort, and the escort was Michael Kirby. And before we let you talk about Michael, we're going to let Michael talk about you.
This is the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM, coming to you from the festival office in Tralee, and I'm sitting beside Michael Kirby, and Michael had the honour of being the escort for Corina Higgins, who is the Toronto Rose. Michael, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So you're an escort for Corina. First of all, tell us the role of the escort, and then tell us how you got selected and how you went through that process, and then tell us a little about what's going on here this week for you.
Right. Well, I suppose the role of the escort is just to make the Rose, make your Rose welcome, especially not just the Rose, but her family as well, just to ease them into the proceedings and make them feel welcome and just kind of be with them at all times and just kind of, you know, just be it at whenever they need you, 4 o'clock in the morning if they want a pizza, or give me a call and I'll be over straight away with the pizza.
So this is the kind of husband training school.
That's right, exactly. So I should have no problem getting a wife after this. They'll be queuing up for me.
That's right. So then how did you get selected?
Well, it was actually my mom that said I should go in for it. So what I did was, it was just basically an application form at first,
right,
and then interviews after that. So we had to go for interviews in Dublin.
Okay.
And that was basically it then. The rest is history, as they say.
So then how is the Rose, how are you allocated a Rose, or what's the process?
The way they seem to allocate them anyway is with interests, and you know, so a lot of the time you notice it with a lot of the escorts and the Roses,
it's a bit like the dating game.
That's right, exactly. They try and pair off the matching people. So no, it's good because at least you have something to talk about, and you know, you've the same personalities, and no, they've done it really well. So
Corina and yourself, What are your shared interests?
Our shared interests? I was talking to Corina the other day about she enjoys drama. I'd be involved in drama as well, and she's just started tennis, so I'm the same.
Okay.
Tennis. So, and so no, basically we're just kind of both very chatty and, you know, down to earth kind of. So.
And Michael, yourself, where are you from?
I'm from Fermoy in County Cork. Well, Glanmurt. It's a small village outside Fermoy. So.
And when you're not an escort, what do you do?
I'm a primary school teacher. So I'm just qualified. So I'm starting my new job next week. The day after the Rose of Tralee finishes. So I'll be rushing home to get ready. But hopefully it'll go okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you want to let us in on any secrets about Corina?
Any secrets about Corina? Well, she's quite good at poking mascara in her eye when there's a camera on her. So
okay.
What are the secrets? I can't think of anything now. That she's a very good dancer as well.
She hides that apparently.
She blames the shoes, but I think she enjoys it secretly.
Right.
So
when you mentioned dancing, did you have to go and do dancing lessons so as that when it comes to the ball and stuff like that?
We had waltzing lessons the other day. It was only a kind of a short lesson. Just there was girls came in from Sheem Satira in Tralee. Like an Irish dancing show, and they came in to teach us a bit of waltzing just for the first dance at the Rose Ball.
Okay.
So we had to bring our roses out and
do your 1, 2, 3.
Exactly, lead them around. So I think we were okay, not too bad.
Good. You didn't stand on any toes and you didn't get stood on.
No, exactly. We were good. We tried to push into the middle so no one would see us.
Okay.
So we were all right. We were okay.
So it's a long day for you from once the festival starts up until when it all ends.
That's right. You're getting up at pretty much 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, getting your suit ready or your shirt and tie in. You know, like last night, for example, it was 4 o'clock before I got to bed. So it's a pretty hectic week. But the adrenaline keeps you going, and there's always something different and something new to look forward to, you know, so you wouldn't be too bad.
So given that
when Karina gets to hear this, she'll be back in Canada.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say here that she won't hear until then?
Well, I just hope that she had the best week of her life, and I really enjoyed escorting her, and I can't think of anyone better that I could have escorted, and I hope that she'll remember it for the rest of her life, and you know that, and that, and she'll be back to Tralee no doubt again, and there'll be plenty of reunions anyway, so we'll all be meeting up again.
Well, Michael Kirby, thanks a million for talking to me.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, Karina, are you surprised with that?
Yes and no. He was like, Michael was the best escort. He had everything, and he was always there for me. Like he said, like they had to be. But
pizza at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
But I was shocked. Like I thought they were just going to be there on tour, like when we were going to visit places and stuff. But they were with us 24/7.
Hold on, no, not 20.
Well, no, not 24/7.
Okay. Yeah, let's get this straight.
I guess this is spreading rumors here. The majority of the time, they were not allowed on our floor. Yeah. Let me just. But he had pins and makeup and
mascara.
No, you didn't have mascara. You should have though, because apparently I'm not very good with it. But. He had like blush and lipstick and lip balm and safety pins and hair pins, and their pockets were exploding with stuff in case we needed it, just in case.
Nice.
And they were sweating in these like tuxedos they had to wear all the time.
Right.
And with all this added weight, I don't know how he did it, but he was amazing, and I'm sure he does have women lined up to marry him, because he'll be very good.
Yeah. The other thing was, you mentioned to me that as a group, you had a piece of music that you were all locked into over there.
Yes, we did. Every night we had a dinner and dance, and it was Fiona, the Liverpool Rose. She got up one night and started singing Galway Girl, and that just became our song. Every night, someone always sang it. So,
hello, this is Sharon Shannon, and you're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM.
I took a stroll on the old long walk of the day. I met a little girl and we stopped to talk on a fine soft day. And I asked you, friend, what's a fella to do? 'Cause her hair is black and her eyes are blue. And I knew right then I'd be taking a whirl around a salt hill prom with a Galway girl. Oh. We're halfway there when the rain came down of a day. She asked me up to her flat downtown on a fine soft day.
Big Brothers Big Sisters is an organization that focuses on matching young kids with positive adult role models. The little brothers and little sisters in our program are between the ages of 6 and 18. Our adult volunteers are over 18 and have been thoroughly screened. Through our programs, we strive to give little brothers and little sisters the chance to build positive relationships with their big brother or big sister. Together, they are able to share similar interests and engage in fun activities. If you are interested in a role model for your child or are interested in becoming a volunteer, please call Big Brothers Big Sisters Ottawa at 613-247-4776, extension 315 or 309, or visit our website at www.bbbso.ca.
Celtic Tenors, Tuesday, December 9th at Centrepoint Theatre. A show not to be missed. The most successful classical crossover artist ever to come out of Ireland. The Celtic Tenors. Enjoy the eclectic mix of classical, folk, Irish and pop. A front and centre production. Tickets and info at 580-2700 or centrepointtheatre.com. Best seats, best prices, best shows. At Centrepoint Theatre, they're all front and centre. Go to centrepointtheatre.com and hit the front and centre button. Your front and centre membership works to get you advance tickets at discounted prices. And you'll never miss a show. Through John McDermott, Cherish the Ladies and Beaufire. Best seats, best prices, best shows. Go front and centre. Look for more details at centrepointtheatre.com.
Hey everybody, Alan Doyle and Bob Howell here from Great Big Sea.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM.
I notice up at Centrepoint also on Friday the 28th, there's the International Guitar Night. And then on Saturday 29th, David Francie and Dawn Langstrom. And then Sunday, Judy Collins is up there. But one of the other things, if you're interested in archaeology, or sorry, genealogy, at 7 p.m, the Ottawa branch of the Ontario Genealogical Society, the Irish Research Group, they have their meeting at Room 156 at Library and Archives Canada. And then on Friday the 28th also, Keisha Lyra, a Hint of Winter concert, and that's at the Fourth Stage. Tickets there are $16. And a little farther out, Kevin Dooley will be doing some readings of By the Hob and the Other Man, and that's at the Bicub Bookstore, 294 Albert. And I do want to mention again that the Gaelic Hour is proud to present Danu, and that is on the 10th of December at the National Irish Canadian Cultural Centre. That's 314 St. Patrick Street. And they are direct from Ireland. It is a tour that they're bringing over. They're based in County Waterford. Includes Donald Clancy, Muireann McAuliffe, Benny McCarthy. Wonderful group. And certainly go to my website, thegaelichour.ca, and you can find a link there that will bring you across to Ticketweb. And speaking of my website, this program will be available later on in the week as an archive and a podcast, as are all the programs going back to 2005. Well, you heard from the 2007 Rose, and you heard from the 2008 Toronto Rose, and now we're going to hear from an aspiring possible Ottawa Rose that will maybe go to Tralee in 2009. Erin Jackson, welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Hi, thank you very much.
Erin, before we find out about your aspirations for Tralee, where you tell us a little about yourself.
Okay, well, my family's a bit all over the place. My grandparents are Irish, and my mom and them are living over there in Cork now. I've been living in Cork for the last 8 years, but I've just moved over to Ottawa to start journalism program in Carleton.
Right. And where did you grow up, or where were you born?
Well, I was born in Yellowknife.
Okay.
And I grew up in Winnipeg, and then I moved to Cork.
Okay. So, so you have a nice mix of both cultural experience and cultural background.
Yes, I'm well-travelled.
Good. And you're very familiar with the Rose of Tralee.
Yes, I am. I used to love watching it as a kid. Just crowding around the TV with the family and, you know, betting on which girl will win and, you know, like asking our questions and talking to the TV and judging their talents.
Right, right.
It's great tradition. It really is.
Now, we have to explain that on the 1st of November, there was a gala organized by the National Irish Canadian Cultural Centre, and they held a qualifying heat, and Erin was the selected girl that will go forward to a gala that will be held in April, and at that gala there will be a rose be selected. So how did you find the night of the 1st of November? And we will confess that Karina was involved in the process. We roped Karina in to do some judging. So how did you enjoy that night and tell us about it?
Oh, it was a great night. I wasn't really going and expecting anything. Just to get the opportunity to do it was enough. But then to be selected and to be able to go forth with it is amazing. I got involved through my Irish dancing school, Sufe Healy.
Okay.
And she, because I just moved over and I wanted to find the Irish culture here, and that's the first thing I did was join the school. And she knew my Irish heritage and that I had just moved here, and so she asked me if I would like to be a part of it. And I was shocked because it's something that I thought I was leaving in Ireland, that I wouldn't get that opportunity now that I was over here. And then suddenly the opportunity presented itself and the timing seemed perfect.
And of course this year, not only will it be a case of that there is an Ottawa Rose going to Tralee, the reason there's an Ottawa Rose going to Tralee this year, or in 2009, is because it's the 50th anniversary. And normally, I think it is, there's about 16 international roses qualify. But because it's the 50th, they're going to bring in all the international roses. So I know that last year the Edmonton Rose went to a pre-qualification round in Portlaoise and didn't make it to Tralee. Whereas this year, as I said, 2009, everyone gets to go to Tralee. So it's a special year. So to have an opportunity, that must you must be excited about that.
Yeah, it's definitely a good year to go, I think, especially the 50th anniversary. It's and being an international rose, you know, just, you know, being guaranteed being on the stage and being a part of it all, it would be great.
Yeah, yeah. So I take it then that if you have to do your party piece, unlike Karina, you'll be up there dancing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would probably dance. I play music as well, but dancing's definitely my strong point.
What music do you play?
I play tin whistle and concertina.
Excellent. Yep. Good, good. Well, sometime we're going to have to get you playing music somewhere.
Maybe.
And I have somewhere in mind for that. So you're here and you're a student at Carleton.
Yep.
What are you doing there?
I'm taking journalism, so first year.
And what would you like to do, or what are your hopes and aspirations?
Well, we'll see now. I'm getting my first taste of radio today, so
okay.
We might go into broadcast or maybe print. So I've been doing some articles for my campus paper, The Charlatan, and getting a taste for it there.
Right, right. And you came to Ottawa specifically to go to Carleton?
Yep, I was in Cork, kind of Googling which university to go to, because I knew I wanted to do journalism. And Carleton came up and had a really good reputation and just sent one application over and got through, so.
Fantastic. And so your mom is still back in Cork?
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Yeah, but you're not going to get to go home for Christmas, no?
No, she's going to come over here, but next summer hopefully I'll go over to Ireland and do the Rose of Tralee as well. It would be great, so.
Right. So you're Cork City?
Yeah, just about 5 minutes from downtown, so.
Okay. And have you got to travel around much of Ireland since you've been back?
I guess so. Last summer I was just finished my leaving cert, which is very stressful, and I didn't do anything for a year, as you ask any student who does a leaving cert. But after that, I got on bus errand and went to Dublin and went to Galway and went to Limerick and, you know, actually relaxed and took in a bit of culture that I'd been missing.
Well, when you and I chatted before, earlier in the week, you mentioned that there was a particular piece of music that you'd like to hear played.
Yeah, I love John Splann. He's an artist from Cork, and every year he has a Christmas concert, which makes me particularly nostalgic at this time of year. And he's just great fun, and he has, you know, the Cork accent, and he sings a lot about Cork, so in this particular song, Johnny Don't Go to Ballincollig, that was about 20 minutes from my house. And, you know, you'll see him around the streets, and I come down the hill, Patrick's Hill, from school, and, you know, how are you, John? You know, how are you today? And, you know, he's always around. He's really cool.
Johnny don't go to Ballincollig, for he always gets so disappointed. Johnny don't go, Johnny don't go, Johnny don't go. Stay in town. Johnny don't go to Carrigaline, I'm not coming with you this time. You only go to get let down. Johnny don't go, Johnny don't go, Johnny don't go. Stay in town.
that woman. You know she gets you behind. If you go, call that woman. I'm not coming with you this time. Johnny, don't go, Johnny, don't go, Johnny, don't go. Then come. If you go up to Mallow, better beware of big black water. If you went as far as Mallow, you might never again come down. Johnny, don't go, Johnny, don't go, Johnny, don't go. Johnny, don't go to the banks of the Shannon. Johnny, don't go to the banks of the Nile. Johnny, don't go to the London Tower. Hang around another while. Johnny, don't go, Johnny, don't go, Johnny, don't go. Stay at home. It's your own. Palace. Johnny, don't go to the hole in the wall. Johnny, don't go to the big television. Hey, Johnny, don't go at all. Johnny, don't go, Johnny, don't go, Johnny, don't go. Downtown. Where would you be going? 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 Johnny, don't go, Johnny, don't go, Johnny, don't go. Johnny, don't go to Ballon Collig, where he always gets so disappointed. Johnny, don't go, Johnny, don't go, Johnny, don't go.
You are listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Kemmerton. And as I mentioned, this program will be available on the internet later on in the week, and that's at my website, thegaelichour.ca. And we do podcasts, so if you do want to get stuff there, you can put it in your iPod software and it'll automatically download. We also have a calendar up there and a variety of other stuff. The calendar lists the information of some of the events that are going on, and I try and put the schedule up. There's also a playlist, so the music excuse me, that we play here on the show, that I list the artist and the CD, so if you have any interest, you can go and find it out there. And as I mentioned, Danu will be down at the Irish-Canadian Cultural Centre on the 10th of December. And Erin just mentioned that she performed before a Danu concert. And we're going, if you'd like to meet Erin and Karina, I will introduce you to them on the night of 10th of December. So do come on out and come down to the National Irish Canadian Cultural Centre. And you can get tickets for that if you go on the website. Erin and Karina. Karina, you sat on the other side and you did some judging.
I did. It was a lot of fun. It was very different from being in Erin's position. It was hard, though, asking questions and trying to break down which girls we thought were best suited, and because all the girls were amazing. It was honestly the hardest decision to make, and we made the good one, though. So, but it was a lot of fun. So I'm glad I did it.
So over the next between now and April, and if the opportunity arises, we will try and involve you with some things. But you are looking forward to the event in April, I'm sure.
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah. I can't wait for it.
So hypothetically, because one of the things that is asked is if you manage to be crowned the Rose of Tralee, it says, you know, are you willing to take a year off and go and tour the world? Are you interested in touring the world?
Oh, I don't know. Check my schedule. No, definitely. That would be absolutely unreal. That would be amazing.
And I know the other thing that they ask, and it was interesting in listening to Lisa earlier on, that you're asked to align yourself with a charity. And this is one of the interesting aspects of the Rose of Tralee. It asked you, in a way, to reach beyond the glamour and to get into something else. If I was to put that question to you, like, where would you or Erin, if you were to say there was a charity or something that you have a feeling for, what would it be?
Well, there's a number of them. I think when I was in school, I did a lot of fundraising for breast cancer research.
Right.
I think it might go towards that, because I know a lot of people who have been affected by that, you know, the mothers, aunts, even themselves, and I think that's a really important area to fund.
We're going to wrap up here, and I'm going to say thanks, Karina, and thanks, Erin. Hopefully, Erin, you might get the opportunity of being on the stage in Tralee in August in August of 2009 and have somebody do what we're just about to do.
As I strayed with my love to the pure crystal fountain that stands in the beautiful vale of Tralee. She was lovely and fair.
You have been listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM, and I want to thank Lisa and Aaron for getting up at this hour and coming into studio with me. As I mentioned, this program will be available on the internet later on the week at thegaelicour.ca. My email address is austin@thegaelicour.ca. I want to thank the Irish Village Group of Companies and the Monterey Inn Resort for their continued support of this program. And also, I'll keep mentioning, the Gaelic Hour is proud to present Danu in concert at the National Irish Canadian Cultural Centre on St. Bridget's, 314 St. Patrick Street, on the 10th of December. And you can get tickets for that at the Ottawa Folklore Centre or go on the web, ticketweb.ca. So until tomorrow night at 10 p.m. when it's a music programme, this is Austin Cameron wishing you a wonderful day. Wrap up if you're going outside. Put on the earmuffs, put on the hat, put on the gloves. Don't dare go out in the T-shirt. So until tomorrow night, slán go fóill.
And Mary, all smiling, was listening to me. The moon through the valley, her pale rays were shedding. When I won the heart of the Rose of Tralee, oh, lovely and fair. Not her beauty alone that won me, oh no. 'Twas the truth in her eyes ever dawning that made me love.